Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Bet. Riz. Skibbity. The goat. For real, for real. Spread ass. You know I want ya. Welcome, everybody, to the Who Goes There podcast episode. What number are we?
414.
All right.
This is
Jorge.
This is Rhett.
This is, I was like, Jacob. Wait, this is Jacob.
Hey, Jacob's still Jacob.
Jacob's still Jacob.
How you been?
That's weird, man. Take over. Do your duty.
Well, I just want to see how you think I act. This is good. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys? How you doing?
That's too much.
That's too weird. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go on.
How you been, fellas? How you been?
Pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah. We skipped a week.
No, we skipped.
Well, we did not skip a week.
Yeah, we skipped the week before last week.
We skipped 2 weeks.
Yeah. We skipped the week that we skipped.
But we're still releasing episode after episode after episode.
We're almost there. We're almost there. But anything.
Man, by the time we catch up to reality, it's going to be wild. There's going to be actual civil war happening.
God damn.
Speaking of which, dude, has it occurred to you guys what this shit is going to look like again in by like fucking off, like
by
not even October, September, August? It's gonna be... We're going to have the flags everywhere again.
Yeah, as if they went away.
Well, they did. Like, remember in Bonita, like right over here, they had that fucking table there with all the flags?
They were selling them by the dinosaurs.
Yeah, that shit's going to come back.
Yeah. It never left in Ramona. There's a place that I pass by regularly where these idiots.
Yeah, dude.
There's a Trump store in Ramona, which is fucking wild.
We should deck the fucking recording room out in Trump stuff. No?
Make America great again flags and that.
Deface it. Oh, I had a client talk to me. He's all, what's up with your buddies at the universities? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's all, well, you know, your buddies there are doing all the protesting. And I'm like, oh, you mean like students protesting?
Yeah, protesting for people's rights.
And then he showed me like this fucking horrible fucking Instagram page. And it was this picture, and it was like Gen Z, the tide is turning, and it's like young men protecting old glory. And he's like, that's badass, dude. They were protecting the flag. I'm like, stupid. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. It's dope when you protect the inanimate objects, dude. When you protect the fabric.
Protect the cloth, dude.
That flag's feelings.
Fuck yeah, bro. Oh, like, shit.
And this is a fucking... I'm sorry, dude. I'm not using names, but it's like, dude, this person has issues to deal with. And you swear like you give a fuck about old glory. Like, like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it woke me up that all that shit's coming back.
It'll be fun.
Well, like you said, it didn't go anywhere, but it's going to be more in our face again.
And he just keeps losing in court every fucking week. It's great.
Well, and the more he loses, the more his base is...
the more they're based.
Validated. Yeah, they're like, well, of course, because it's rigged. Yeah. Everything's fucking rigged.
Yeah.
So I'd be worried if he fucking didn't lose.
Yeah. Because, you know, it wouldn't be the agenda, bro. Yeah. It wouldn't be on the fucking bullet points.
Like, listen, I'll go you.
He tried to. Exactly. He tried to drain the swamp, and now the swamp's fighting back. What do you expect?
The swamp slurped him down, dude. Slurping him down. What's going to happen? He's going to go so far down that swamp, he's going to pop out the other end and fuck it.
Dope. What have you been up to, Jacob?
Well, last, was it Friday? It was my little birthday thing, and it was Alien Day, which is what I'm most excited about.
Right. Happy late birthday as well.
Thank you. Alien is literally one of my fucking favorite movie franchises, you know.
Literally.
Yeah, that and Predator. And so
now you say
literally every fucking birthday for the last like 5-6 years, I just watch alien shit and play alien video games and just kind of get in the spirit of it. And they had a little 45-year anniversary showing of Alien, and I saw that. And I mean, at this point though, it's like I've fucking seen the movie so many times.
It hasn't aged that well, huh?
Some parts don't. What I have to do is like I have to frame in my mind, you know what, dude, the Xenomorph, it's like Nosferatu. It's like slowly rising and it's like creepy and gothic. The our showing did not unfortunately have any cool alien Romulus like footage, cuz they did it for Alien Covenant when it came out. For the 40-year anniversary, we saw like 5 minutes of footage of Alien Covenant like 6 months before it came out, which was fucking awesome. Nothing like that for Alien Romulus, but we got a little Q&A with Ridley Scott and the homie Fede, and literally nothing new I don't already know from Alien, except for like one thing, and he said, you know, Fede asked Ridley, you know, what's the key to making, you know, a timeless looking, visually striking, you know, science fiction movie? And
he asked the guy who directed Gods and Monsters.
Ridley's like, I don't know. I haven't done it in fucking 30
I just
years.
Fucking directed Napoleon last year. So and, don't ask me.
In the most Ridley Scott, you know, fashion, he just said, you know, I just copied everything Stanley Kubrick did in 2001 Space Odyssey. You know what? After he said that, it fucking made perfect sense. You know, like the mother room with all the dots and.
Absolutely.
You know,
he gave 2001 the horror treatment.
Yeah, he really did. And he hates horror movies or doesn't care for them. So, you know, which I love. I love when people who don't like a genre try to tackle it with a new, with that perspective. And, you know, besides a giant, you know, rubber alien suit, slow walking and not scary, the fucking movie is dope. It's seeing it as many times as I have, it does get slow. Like, I don't know why they don't fucking show aliens on Alien Day. You know, it's the more fun, you know, audience engaging movie. Like, it's always Alien, and it's not like Alien came out on 426. It's just 426 because it's LV-426, the planet. It's the only reason why it's on that day. It's not like it's the day of the anniversary. Oh. So I'm like, why don't they show any of the other Alien fucking movies?
Is that why, dude? I honestly, I could feign like that I'm making fun of people. I never thought about it.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's why.
Dude, and, so I'm literally like, oh,
look at my Wi-Fi, dude. It's LV-426.
There you go.
Oh shit!
And then the moon, guys, the moon of LV-426, LV-223 is Prometheus. That's where Prometheus took place.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Do you know that one too, dude?
I heard it recently enough when I did the watch with Sophia, but I did not commit it to permanent memory.
Yeah. Mm. So I did that. I picked up a game because my coworkers were nice. They gave me a little gift card for Steam. Bought some PC games. I blew the whole gift card in one day. It was $100. I just bought everything I could. And I got Aliens Dark Descent. It's a real-time tactical strategy game with alien colonial marines. And it's fucking so sick. You got to deal with like the fucking stress and mental health of your squad. It's permadeath. You lose a character, they're gone forever. You got to get a new recruitment. Dude. Yeah, your characters level up over time. If they die, they're gone. And you got to do all this shit and...
That would be great on a handheld thing. Like, I wish it was on the fucking Switch.
I mean, you could, even like on a phone, it would work perfectly because you're just moving characters and stuff like that. It's all real time.
You know what your next move is?
Pause and play.
What? You gotta get a fucking Steam Deck.
Dude, time. It's all fucking. And I'm never getting a Steam Deck because that one motherfucker talked about a Steam Deck. and so that's it.
Which motherfucker?
Don't worry about
it. He loves the Steam Deck. And it is just basically a better Switch. Without the Nintendo games, though, and sadly.
Without the best games ever.
I mean...
I'm just fucking around at this point. No, but yeah, with no need to talk shit about anybody at this point, right? Except Ridley Scott. He's 86 years old. And I'm not even talking shit now. That's fucking crazy.
He needs to be 86th. From the planet.
Well, he's about to... Gladiator 2 going to come out with Paul Mescal. Cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
We're going to see what that's like.
Yeah. See that RC fucking face hugger that they posted?
Yeah, for Alien Romulus.
Fucking dope.
Yeah, man. I'm excited because they kind of use the same tech in Aliens with that shit. You know, Alex Gillis and Tom Woodruff Jr. And but yeah, that was what I watched. If we're talking about what we're watching, I watched one other thing. Rhett, you let me borrow last week a little couple movies. I haven't watched one of them, which is Denis Villeneuve's Incendies, one of his first couple films, feature-length films he's watched.
Excellent film.
Or he directed. I haven't watched that yet, but you did also let me borrow a movie that, Jorge, you also, it's not only one of your favorites, it's my probably
favorite movie. The favorite. It is my favorite.
And I get it. It's we're talking about Amadeus. And I watched it. I watched the theatrical cut, which I had to hunt down online, but I found a nice little fan-made little 1080p Blu-ray edit of it. Watched that, took some edibles, and my mind was fucking blown. I was like, this is a fucking masterpiece. That the next day I was sober, I watched the director's cut, and I watched it again. It's very rare that I'll just watch a movie back like twice back-to-back days, and I was so impressed with it. Like, I know this isn't a horror movie
it
at all.
Kind of is,
but
it
like,
kind of is, dude, though, I will, bro.
There's some monologues from F. Murray Abraham that, like, when he's renouncing God. It's
fucking
and it's kind of,
crazy.
Holy shit. I was like, did this guy win an Oscar? And I'm like, okay, he did, yeah. I was like,
it
no
was between him and Tom Hulce. Both of them got nominated for Best Actor, and it's like, who do you, when you're watching that movie, it's like, fuck, who's better?
Yeah, and you think, you know? Like, oh, Tom Hulce, he's just this doing this weird, goofy thing, but no, like, his character has so much depth, too, and even absolutely more so in the director's cut, and like you said, yeah, it kind of breaks up the pacing a little bit, but I do love those extra scenes.
I think, yeah, it's a good director's cut. I just had watched it so many times.
You're used to that pacing.
I'm used to that pacing, and when I finally saw a director's cut, I saw the reasoning for one scene, but I was just so attached to the thing. So it's hard for me to have any kind of
fucking dude. I'm on Spotify. Like, my top artist is Mozart right now. I never don't listen to classical, but it was just like
Requiem Mass. That shit.
I didn't know he fucking did that. You know, that was his last thing he wrote. You know, in real life too. You know.
Sorry.
Even if it was, you know, the whole movie is fiction, but, you know, and they took all these liberties, but it's fucking powerful.
No, dude. It's a documentary, dude.
Might as well.
Yeah, that's they how took I quite felt, a few man. Liberties.
Just a
couple, right?
Yeah.
But the way that movie shot, I was blown away because after I watched it, I looked up everything I could and I was like, 1984, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
like,
the
I
opera thought, scenes alone is just like, what are you, what the fuck?
And that's why it won't age because it's a period piece. And it's just the peak of like of
it's peak dude.
It's peak quality, and it's 84. So yeah, I think there have been a lot of advances since 84 with certain things,
mm-hmm.
but not sufficient. It's natural lighting in a lot of the scenes, like it's Barry insane. Lyndon was,
yeah,
you know, and so it's not going to like look worse mm-hmm. with time. It's the natural, and it's already a movie that's supposed to have somewhat of an antiquated, not somewhat, it's an antiquated look.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's fantastic. The very end when he is the king of mediocrity in this insane asylum and he's being wheeled away. I was like, dude, this movie's so good. Like, that's at that point, if I had more time, I would have watched it twice in the same day. Like, back
I absolve
back.
You.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Dude. So thank you both for recommending that. Because
yeah, man, I worked hard on that movie, dude. You know what I mean? No, dude, that movie, it's, yeah.
And I was like, you know, and then you listen to the Rock Me Amadeus song, and you're like, okay, yeah, is he like the history's first rock star? And it was close. There was another classical composer before him, Liszt.
Yeah. No, Franz Liszt came later.
Okay.
Liszt is closer to the first rock star only because it's more modern.
Yeah.
And because it was, recorded music was right around the corner.
Oh, okay.
And all of that stuff. But yeah, girls would, you know, his sweat and pieces of his hair.
But what was
Liszt wrote shit too that people still can't play.
And what's funny was I looked up him and I was like, is there a movie about him? And there is. And you know who directed it? Ken Russell.
he made like five fucking movies about composers.
Yeah.
He did a Mahler one. Really? I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah, it's Amadeus. That movie fucked, dude.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Did Courtney watch it?
She wasn't around at the time, so I watched it twice without her.
Well, now you have the opportunity to watch it a third time. That movie fucks, dude. No joke.
I could not believe. I was like, damn, I can't believe I slept on this for as long as I did.
When he's in there, like, fucking having his little manic episodes, and then, like, he opens the door, and the fucking dude is showing up, which is supposed to be in his dad's visage. mm-hmm. with the fucking mask. It's like, duh! It's like, this is fucking dope, dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is like the darkest shit ever.
The little jabs in the beginning with Mozart towards Salieri, it really reminded me like Oppenheimer with Robert Downey and Cillian Murphy, of how like he's just embarrassing him in front of people and stuff. And like, you could see the rivalry getting born right there. So I could see how it influenced a lot of movies, that rivalry.
For sure. Well, even Nolan said it was somewhat of an influence for fucking Oppenheimer.
Oh, really?
A little bit of the thing between Robert Downey Jr.'s character.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking massive jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely. That the genius scientist is revered and the most important man in history.
Yeah.
You know, while he's been working so hard and putting so much effort behind the scenes and doesn't get that kind of those accolades or that attention.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So...
Hell yeah.
Impressed. Yeah.
I got to watch that again.
Yeah. I'll watch it again too.
I'll let you borrow my copy.
I don't have a Blu-ray player, bro. No,
okay.
I think it's, and it's definitely, in my opinion, it's one of the best films. When people say the 80s, there was this idea, at least for a while, the 80s wasn't as strong a decade
for
film.
Wait, I do. I have a
PS4. There you go.
Jesus. What?
That's good, man.
There was this idea that the 80s wasn't as strong a decade for film as like the 70s because it had so much fucking like breakthrough cinema, right, in the 70s. But as people, you know, we love fucking Predator and Alien.
A lot of genre films.
A lot of genre films. It's like the best ever in the 80s. But as far as dramas go, I kind of get like the case for it. But like Amadeus, Raging Bull,
yeah,
fucking Blue Velvet, which is, that's a little... basically a genre film too, but you know, those are probably my favorite three non-genre films of the 80s.
I didn't think I would enjoy a historical drama as much as I did. I mean, it's like that and, you know, recently Oppenheimer, but I really didn't think something from the 80s would draw me in, a historical drama like that.
Nah, dude, it's just, yeah.
We got you, dude.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. You got my taste pretty pegged with this and Altered States, because Altered States was the last movie I watched twice in a row, like back-to-back days.
Dude.
So.
Nah,
yeah.
It's stuff that's aged well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, say, Grave Encounters. You know what I mean?
You've never even watched it.
How do you know? I just want to talk about Stuckman's movie being produced by fucking Mike Flanagan.
Yeah.
And now I'm Salieri. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Salieri energy on the Who Goes There podcast. But it's dope because you get to like fucking reject, you know, I will destroy your creation. Like,
yeah.
You get to do that here. This is where you throw the cross into the fire.
That's a hell of an endorsement, man, for that.
It is.
Fucking movie that he's creating.
Yeah, and
I mean, it's in post-production, I guess. It's done.
And Flanagan's like, it's not, if it sucked, it's not like it's going to hurt him.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, that's Flanagan.
That's weird. I feel like, well, all he did was YouTube movies, and now all of a sudden he's just making a movie like that. Like,
well, yeah, you know, that's what Stuckman's, like, big... that's what his big like turnaround was, that he wanted to direct, and so he felt like all of his negativity when he was reviewing movies was kind of like was poisoning the well, so to speak.
He wanted to work with you didn't know that?
No, I don't know like what. Yeah,
that's what prompted it. That's why it's super like Cuckman.
Mm-hmm.
No, but look, more power to him for doing. But obviously, it's like if he's like, what do I want to do? Make a movie or review movies forever?
Yeah.
And he's taking the risk.
Yeah,
which is like it's a crazy thing to see. I can't think of I know there's been other movie critics that have written scripts.
Yeah.
Like Roger Ebert had a couple scripts, but the movies were supposedly horrible. But that was before he became a critic. But, you know, but yeah, the idea is though, he didn't want to fucking, like he said, poison the well. If he's going to work within the industry, he doesn't want to burn bridges by insulting people.
Yeah.
So now it's Cuckman.
Yeah.
Now I can't give my honest opinion. Like, if Madam Web, like, if you're doing a 15-minute talk about Madam Web and going out of your way to not say anything critical,
yeah,
like, because you're working in the industry, that's fucked. Just don't make the review.
Yeah, just don't review it.
Don't do it anymore, man. You know?
Indeed.
He's a Madam Web apologist.
Yeah.
He loves Madam Web.
You see, Pope Exorcist 2 got greenlit today.
Good.
Yeah,
that see, I'm more excited about that than the other Russell Crowe Exorcist movie.
I know. I was like, what is this? This isn't Pope's Exorcist 2. Yeah.
So he's going to do three Exorcism movies back to back?
In like 2 years, yeah.
That's
fucking awesome.
He's fucking insane.
And then, of course, I saw these people sharing news about Kristen Stewart being in a new movie, but I didn't know the context of it because I was just flying through Instagram. But one of our Discord members, Ashley, she posted a little link to some news announcement that fucking Panos Cosmatos, his next film, is Oscar Isaac, Kristen Stewart, 80s set vampire L.A. movie. And it's with fucking creepy, like, Hollywood cults or something. I don't know, but it's going to be fucking crazy.
I'm getting a little 80s. Everything is 80s.
Yeah.
But, dude, all I Panos Cosmatos' next movie, I'm in.
Yeah.
Those two actors, I'm in.
Because he hasn't done anything since then, right?
No. Yeah. It's Mandy. He's not prolific.
Yeah.
Well, but that's not true. He did that great fucking episode on
see, I didn't watch that.
Cabinet of Curiosities.
Or Black Rainbow. I haven't seen that either. Yeah.
Which one did he do on that?
He did the one with Eric Andre, I think.
He did the one with Peter Weller.
Peter Weller and Eric Andre.
What was the...
When they go inside that fucking, like, crazy-ass building with the brutalist architecture.
Uh-huh.
And they're fucking trying to conjure that fucking entity.
Oh, yeah. That was a good
one. The shit gets fucking crazy.
Yep.
And he's got, like... For, again, an episode on a
series. Oh, that's right. They were inside the, like, the pyramid thing, and they're all sitting around, like, the couch, the 70s couch thing.
And
that was trippy.
And things go fucking bonkers.
As you'd expect.
As they should.
And this movie is produced by Adam McKay. Yeah. And he did say it will be more accessible, more palatable by a wider audience.
I hate it.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But he said it's wildly artful at the same time. So. Yep. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'm excited, though, nonetheless.
Cool. Did you watch anything else?
No, just Alien and Amadeus twice.
That's a pretty good. It's a pretty good day.
Yeah.
I wanna tell everyone a huge recommendation on Amazon. I'm being a smartass. If you like bad movies and you haven't seen this, I had heard about it for a while. Nicolas Cage had that fucking... Speaking of Nicolas Cage and, like, Mandy and stuff, before Mandy, he was in trouble for a while, but...
He had some debts.
Yeah, he did. Exactly. And he just fucking did all these movies. One of them was a 2014 film called Left Behind, which is a Christian produced movie.
Yeah, it's based off of the book, right?
Based off a book series about, like, the end times. Yeah. And get this. It's based... Kirk Cameron did one of the fucking movie version before, too. But, dude, the premise of this fucking movie is that people, like, half the world's population just disappears because it's the rapture. So it's like fucking Infinity War. Like, someone's hugging their daughter, and then it's just clothes, because this movie is trash, dude. And fucking Nicolas Cage is in it, and most of the first 30 minutes...
It's fucking great.
He's hugging clothes, dude.
I'm not kidding you.
Actually, you know what, dude? I kind of wonder about that, because, like, when Thanos snapped everybody, he snapped the person, not the clothes.
Well,
so maybe
this movie is more accurate.
Maybe this movie's more accurate than fucking Endgame.
Don't fuck like this, dude. I don't. It's a better cinematic choice to yeet the fucking clothes out.
Also. How did they depict it, though? Did they turn into something? Do they evaporate, or is it like a blink of an eye and they're gone?
It's a blink of an eye thing, because they don't have the budget or the visual effects.
Effects, man.
Like, yeah. We just got these clothes.
And dude. I want to share with you, too. The first 30 or 40 minutes, there's no indication that's what's going to happen, because I didn't read the synopsis. So most of it, at the first 30 minutes, takes place at a fucking airport.
Yeah.
And it's literally in, like, literally in the airport coffee shop, and then, like, the gift shop.
Oh, it's the Langoliers, dude.
Dude, but it's trash, dude. Like, well, duh, right? But these fucking, it is worthy of the room, almost, with, like, the every single scene is funny. And then, like, I fucking dragged Sophia in to watch it after I watched it, and then I watched it again the next day, and she started the first 10 minutes. She's like, no. And then, like, now we got 30 minutes in. And when people disappeared, she was committed to the rest of this fucking movie. Because
I don't know how you do it with her, man. Like,
she's not going to watch it again. But it is one of the, like, again, I'll add it to the list of best bad movies.
It's a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It has a 0% Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 3.1 IMDb. It has a fucking something... unbelievable, like a 12 on Metacritic, which is a median average out of 100.
Yeah.
Out of 100, median average score. It's got 8 scores of a 0 on Metacritic, and rightfully so, because it's just fucking unbelievable. And the best part is that it's trying to like pander about Christianity in the end of days, which is the worst fucking possible missionary work you could ever do. So I love it even more. And then Nicolas Cage is just there for the paycheck, taking it dead fucking serious. Like, his daughter's trying to set up a place for them to land. You know, they got to do a crash landing, and he's a fucking a pilot. And then he's all, I can't see the runway, so I'm going to need you to make a fucking visual, you know? And there's a city he's flying into, and he needs something big enough to see where to land, right? And she's in a truck. She's all, I'm flashing my lights. Can you see that? She says that shit.
He can see it?
No, he can't see it. Because, no, why would you fucking see that? But dead fucking serious, Nicolas Cage is like, no, honey, we're going to need something a lot bigger than that. But it's like, Nicolas Cage knows this is fucking retarded. And he just is like, I'm going to deliver this line.
Huh. Wow.
It's a great movie. It's one of the worst fucking movies ever.
Shit.
And the ethos is fucked, too. Like, it's mostly on a plane, so you got a midget. It's the worst representation of a midget I've ever seen. I'm serious, because they're acting like he's just a dickhead, and all he does is complain about being a midget. Fuck. And then when they're abandoning the plane later, they punt him off because he's been so tiresome the whole movie. So I don't know why they're mad at the fucking midget. Jordan Sparks is in it from American Idol, and fucking she pulls a gun on the rest of the crew. Like, it's fucking crazy, dude. So that's on Amazon.
So definitely go check that out.
Definitely fucking check that shit out. I See You.
You watched it?
No, I watched it.
No.
I just gotta say, that movie does a turn too. Like, it starts one way, and then he's at like in Montana at some fucking rehab for cops. And have you watched it?
No, I walked in, my mom was watching it, and I was like, it looked like really bloody and some crime. She's like, what is this, like Seven?
It's Wannabe fucking Seven, Wannabe Saw, yeah. And Sylvester Stallone, like 2004.
Yeah.
It went direct to video, and then it takes a sharp left from the trauma.
It's a chamber, kind of like a chamber piece, like The Thing, right? Like a paranoid thriller.
That's the idea.
The idea of
it. And then it's like, fuck, not good. So anyway, you inspired me to watch that because you sent me the thing. And at the time, I'm like, 5.1 IMDb, cool. But once I found out about Left Behind, 3.1, I'm like, this is way better. Right? I started Fallout.
Okay.
We had talked about doing Fallout on the show. I'm impressed by it, but I got two episodes in.
Okay.
I got two episodes in. I like it. I think it's well produced.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know anything that's going on, and
well, I don't think you have to. I think it's you know, there's a lot to like there, and the production values, and like Jorge mentioned last week, the intro is fucking great.
Yeah.
I don't understand, and I know I missed it because I was doing homework concurrently at the same time late at night. Why, if it's hundreds of years later, how come certain people didn't age?
They get into that.
They get into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one person in particular, right?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll keep on watching that. And then X-Files season 2, I again.
You hate it.
I don't hate it. Yeah, I think it's fun. I love that Sophia loves it.
Hate it.
But I would like to report Scully has now seen a literal shapeshifter turn into Mulder, punch her in the face, throw her across a motel room.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said if she becomes magically skeptical again next episode or any episode after this, that's fucking dumb. She's magically skeptical by the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck they're up to with this and what y'all are thinking. No, but it's a fun show, but I don't get that part. Explain it to me.
What do you mean?
Why is she still skeptical after something like that?
I don't know, dude.
I don't... Yeah. That's Down syndrome? she's got issues, right?
It doesn't make sense in the context of the show.
You know, all my homies have extra chromies. That's all I can say.
Because I've only seen like two episodes of X-Files in my life. And
wow.
Yeah. The audience knows that everything is... It's not on the fence, right? It's straight up like the audience knows that it's all real. It's all super... It's all paranormal and shit.
Yes and no. Like, they start to... What I'm waiting for, and I do remember seeing a couple situations like this, where Mulder is his off base.
Yeah.
Where he's off base, where he's hoping for stuff that isn't there.
Okay.
To balance this equation out a little
bit. Okay, that's what I was wondering. I was like, are there episodes where the skeptic is right? Is Scully right? Okay.
What it does get into, and I think Jorge, he didn't mention this before, but I could hear him.
You could hear me mentioning it?
Yeah, is that it leans, she's looking for a scientific, rational explanation, which she does find in a couple cases, which Mulder hadn't considered. It's still outlandish, but at least it's rational and scientific.
Yeah.
Right?
So it sounds like her character is pointless. As a
skeptic. I just don't understand how, dude, if the shapeshifter thing and all, it's like, dude, there's no time for skepticism now, Scully. Yeah. Like,
well, because I was thinking if the audience.
All bets are off.
If the audience isn't skeptical, then there's no point of having the skeptic there.
If it quacks like a retard and swims like a retard, it's a retard.
I can't make words and do it, but. Baby reindeer. I watched that whole thing with Hi Sophia.
Uh-huh.
By the way.
By the way.
Yeah, the guy who wrote it, it's a fucking like a huge moment right now mm-hmm. with that show. What'd you think, Jorge?
I do not like it.
Oh God. How far into it are you?
3 episodes. I do not like it.
I fucking hate
the character. Nobody's supposed to be likable in this show. Like, cool, got it. I don't like it. Don't like it.
It has some of the most cringe situations. It was hard for me to watch. I actually found it very triggering. And I don't mean like, oh, he gets triggered. No, but I mean like very uncomfortable to watch because it's so fucking, these situations are so uncomfortable. Where it ends up going, it's 7 episodes. They're about 30-minute episodes. If they were longer, I think that'd be a problem. But as it is, I watched all 7 in a couple days. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really well acted. I could see why Jorge doesn't like it. And the story is fucking insane.
Yeah.
And where it goes, I mean, I'd love to say, Jorge, watch the rest so you know the other
context. Oh, I'm going to finish it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's other context to it that hopefully you get that helps. But... And I won't say anything past episode 3 then. Because there is other stuff where I was completely fucking unprepared for. You know, and that was actually, that was triggering in a fucking different way. But yeah, this guy, he was a fledgling comedian, or trying to be a comedian. And eventually, he kind of fucking breaks down at one of these shows. Is that story outside of this.
Mm-hmm.
And divulged a bunch of stuff and it went viral. Because it was such like a crazy ass moment because it was supposed to be a comedy show and then it wasn't. And then this led eventually to him developing a one-man show about it. And then that led to this miniseries, which is written, directed, and acted by the guy it happened to. Now there's like the lady who's stalking him.
Mm-hmm.
The real lady is supposedly trying to sue him.
For stalking.
Yeah.
Which is ironic.
Yeah, because it is, yeah. So
it's like Dan Schneider is suing... For that documentary, Quiet on Set.
Oh, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's suing them.
Well, I mean,
after he just publicly apologized for everything, he's but, also
you know, suing. No, he's like, no, you.
He's like, why not both? Yeah. Like, I'll apologize and you pay me.
And give me the money.
Yeah. I mean, okay, that's pretty good.
He's playing 4D chess.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He's like, if I did this shit, you think I won't sue you? Like, come on.
He's like, dude, it's a triple benefit. I get to apologize, I get to have done the thing, and I'm going to take your money.
I'm going to get paid from the publicity that you...
Yeah.
Yeah, because you exploited me being a dirtbag.
Right.
So you're a dirtbag.
Exactly.
It's fucking...
It's I'm rubber, you're glue all over again, bro.
Kind of. And there's some of that kind of aspect on this show, too, as you continue with it. Mm-hmm. Another thing I saw is this movie, The Beast, this French film. And Jacob, you'd heard about it, right?
Les Incompetents.
Sounds
familiar.
What's that mean? This director Bertrand Bonello, I don't know.
Oh, this, yeah. You saw it in theaters?
I saw it in theaters at UTC.
Still there.
Okay. I prioritized that over Challengers this weekend because it's going to be there.
Yeah, I'm seeing it this weekend. Yeah,
shorter period of time. But this guy's done a bunch of other movies, but also he's an actor occasionally and a composer. He composed the score for the movie, and he wrote it. He was the dad in Titane, the one who dies.
That guy?
Yeah. Oh. Not the fucking muscle man fucking fire. That's what I was hoping for too.
Yeah.
He's the dad who's in the car accident at the beginning. Her actual dad.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's with all those people. He's considered part of the French extremity type thing.
Oh, nice.
This movie is not extreme that way, Jacob, right?
Yeah.
But I will say it's 2.5 hours and it's got Lea Seydoux looking fucking gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And she's a lot is demanded of her in this. And it's got the lead guy from 1917.
Yeah.
It's a fucking ambitious movie. It jumps from the 1800s to modern day LA and then in the future. And in the future, the idea is that they want to get rid of affects because AI has really done what it does and taken over most of the things. And people with affects, which is with your emotional stuff, that makes you less competent and more volatile. Mm, yeah, so yeah. They're trying to like get rid of that. And the idea is you can scrub your DNA. And in that process, in consciousness, she gets into this kind of very Cronenbergian little bath. And they don't lean too much into it. They show just enough, so that part's dope. And then she goes back and relives like either ancestral stuff or former life stuff and traumas that have been carried in her DNA.
Fuck.
Right, but the first fucking hour is like a vetting process because it was like beautiful and it's really good and all this stuff. But I said no less than 4 times, Sophia, I'm like, what the fuck is going on, right? And not in like some Inception way, like it was like really testing your patience.
Okay.
And then it gets to fucking, I'm sorry. So if you don't, if this is not your, an hour is too long for you, like,
yeah,
then not your movie.
Yeah. It felt like it already had like very niche, like marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so it gets to about 1 hour and 10 minutes. And then I'm like, oh, this movie's dope as fuck. Cause then it completely changes the context of the first hour you saw.
Mm.
Right. Long story short, dude, like it's fucking, when they made comparisons to Lynch and Cronenberg, especially the Lynch part, when it gets to this modern day LA stuff, the stuff they do with this, there's a stalking situation in this and the stuff about the emergence of technology and paranoia and stuff about identity. And it does all this shit without preaching at you or without info dumps. Like all of this shit. It's one of like, I mean, it's not about the year so far, but it's one of the more surreal fucking movies I've seen in theaters in a long time.
Okay.
It's kind of like Mulholland Drive type stuff, the last half. So right. Both of us, we're both eager to go see it again in a theater while we can. If I had watched this at home, I don't think I would have got past the first hour.
Okay.
And I'm just being honest. That's sad to say, but it's not a bad first hour. I want to watch the whole movie again, but it reminds me like I need to see some movies in a fucking theater, dude.
Yeah.
There's no way. I would have been like on my phone, on Instagram, watching that first hour. I've been like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know?
There you go.
But it's dope. Other than that, yeah, Left Behind and The Beast, dude.
There you go.
That's what I got.
That's dope.
That's it.
All right.
What about you?
We talked about it already. We good. Yeah. We good.
What? What we talk about?
What I watched.
What'd you watch?
The Thing that we talked about? Baby Reindeer?
What about
Continuing Parasite?
Oh, how is that?
It's pretty good. I like it. Almost done.
Are you done with Fallout?
Almost done with Fallout.
Dope.
Yeah. I'm okay. Working my way through like 5 or 6 series right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back. Talk about a movie.
Another French movie.
Wait, are you the reincarnation of Larry Clark or what?
It's kind of like a Being John Malkovich thing. Because the meme is like, welcome back after the person dies. It doesn't even have to be like that. You could body hop while
you're still alive.
Yeah, it's just you've locked the other person's personality. It's kind of like the sunken place in Get Out. Right?
So it's like reincarnation doesn't have to follow like normal timelines, like human timelines. Absolutely. It's whatever.
Yeah, that's like, in fact, perpetuating that as a thing of it makes it even more like
What if we are all the reincarnation of the same person having a conversation with ourselves?
That's basically solipsism, dude. And, and you know, there's no way to prove otherwise. What there is a way to prove, though, is one thing. Do you know what it is?
What?
We're back!
Walked right into that. Damn.
We can prove that.
Yeah.
And we're back.
And we can prove that if you go to Who Goes Their Podcast... That's not how it goes. No. If you go to www.patreon.com/whogoesthereirpodcast...
www.goonnowget.com
Dot com. I think, is that still?
It's still up.
It's still up with nothing on it?
I think it just redirects to the Who Goes There website.
Yeah, join our Patreon. Go ahead. Why should they join the Patreon?
Shit, so they can give us fucking content to talk about during the pre-show. Our community is awesome. The way they contribute and talk about films, it's fun. And I get so many movie recommendations from all the fellow Patreon homies on Discord. I always say Discord, not Patreon, because a lot of the Patreon is on Discord, and it's just, it's easy. And for one of our lowest tiers, you can get access to it. And just be as cynical as you want and just talk about.
Well, you can't be as cynical as you want. There is a limit.
There is a limit.
Yeah. Or else
what's the limit? Is it Rhett?
I don't know, man. It's the limit where you get called a weird cop and then, you know, and then you've ostracized yourself.
You from can
the
whole be community. As cynical as you want. You just can't fucking mistake barbed wire for a Paul Verhoeven movie.
Ah.
That's the line.
There got it. Is.
Without you can, but like if someone says some shit, be prepared. You know what I mean?
There you go. Be prepared.
Just be prepared. There is a weird cop somewhere on Discord patrolling and waiting for a slip up.
Well, we're all kind of waiting the weird. For a slip we're up. All kind of the weird cop on patrol. Absolutely. Just be aware.
They were patrolling me. I was being patrolled.
But the solution to that on Discord is a channel, Next Trash Ass Movie.
It's like a great man once said, up yours, woke moralists.
Yes. Yes. One of the great thinkers of our fucking generation.
Yeah, the fucking dude. Sorry. In school, which I'm going to online, they were like asking
in
for
school.
They were asking
which
for
I'm going to online.
They were asking. It's these fucking message boards. And dude, this is a Zoomer. This is a Zoomer saying, this is a really good book if none of you have heard of it. And it's fucking Jordan Peterson. I was like, dude, you got the blue hair. You're a woman. Do not fucking recommend Make Your Room or Clean Your Room by Jordan Peterson.
That's rough.
It is rough.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the Who Goes There podcast watched 2023's, 2024's Infested, a.k.a. Verminous, French film directed by Sebastian Vanacek. Florent Bernard and Sebastian Vernicek, starring Theo Christian, Sophia Lemesenfelon. I don't know, dude. These fucking French names. I can't do it.
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Brotherhood of the Wolf 2, in which they take Wreck, make it stupid, and add spiders.
Residents of a rundown French apartment building battle against an army of deadly, rapidly reproducing speeders.
Jacob, what'd you think of Infested, dude?
Just straight up, I had a good time with it. I like the pacing of it. I think for full feature length directing debut from this guy. I liked just his competent style. It kind of starts off strong. I was expecting, when I see the movies that Shudder buys and distributes, they tend to not be, I think, of this caliber. For a movie that's just a standard creature feature, I like some of the performances. Not that they're anything to really talk about that much, but I was impressed for just being a creature feature, like B movie. It's, you know, and if you're arachnophobic, I mean, it doesn't get any more, you know, creepy crawly than this. It's fucking, it made my skin crawl at some scenes before, you know, it gets a little too CGI. But I had fun. There's some prolonged sequences that are fun and intense. And I like this gradual ramp up of just the chaotic energy of it, and some characters that may annoy others, but for me, I thought they're good enough for the story.
He's like preemptively, they may annoy others.
Yeah, they may annoy others, like Jorge. I don't know, maybe. Yeah. But I didn't mind it, man. I had a great time with it. I'm actually looking forward to it's a film that I think if I found someone who hasn't watched it, I'd want to sit down and watch it again with them, because I think it's just it's a fun time for me.
Okay.
Moi?
Do you want me to go?
Moi?
Les incompétents?
Vermines. So it was released abroad in 2023. It just made it over here stateside. It's on Shudder. I'd heard a bit about it last year. So had Jacob, you mm-hmm. know, and there's all this talk about it being the best spider movie since Arachnophobia, which we did a rewatch on not too long ago, 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's not very good. No, sure. But it has some fucking look, spider stuff when it's fucking repulsive and has that element to it, it works. I had a lot of fun with it up to a point. Mm-hmm. I thought I liked the cultural specificity of it, and what I mean by that is like it. I liked the intro. I liked again. This is a debut feature. I thought the editing was really fucking effective right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I like the, when I say the cultural thing, it's in France, but I haven't seen a lot of movies in France where they're in lower income areas and where there's a lot of like, there's a lot of different cultures. It's not just fucking ugly white people with big noses. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, it was good to see that. Yeah. It was good to see that. And it's different for a horror movie. So it provides me like a window into a thing. And it goes with the title of it's Berman, right? Like it's not just the spiders. It's the idea, you know, given what happens as the movie progresses, they get fucking locked in there because mm-hmm. yeah, they're trying to contain the thing. We can get there with that. That's mm-hmm. obviously a metaphor for other stuff a little bit. I like the character on the front end. I like that he has, I like how they made something as simple as like a bug collection, like giving that at least some kind of fucking attention and making that cool and new again because they're like little fucking aliens and that's cool. Like mm-hmm. I thought that was nice. I thought it was admirable that they tried to have some different character relationships going on.
Yeah.
Because it kept it engaging before, like, the inevitable fucking spider shit goes on. And I thought the spider shit, especially on the first half, was pretty fucking effective and pretty repulsive. And by I don't mean, like, I just mean physically. You have that physical revulsion to the idea of it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I didn't like was once they get to a certain hallway and it's covered with fucking webs and they gotta go through the hallway, which is like it gradually makes me have to, what's the word where you're like you're accepting that it's not realistic? Mm. You know what I'm talking
suspension
about?
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, it gradually, your suspension of disbelief, it asks more and more of you. And it makes us, and again, it gets redundant. Like, they go through a hallway and they have to do that. Then they go through a stairway and they have to do that. And at that point, I start feeling like it's kind of, to me, it's this cheapness of just like there's spider web and it's like a haunted house. But that's still like not like, that's a fun little horror movie to me. Mm-hmm. But all the way to the end, we got a fucking spider the size of a car. You know, which is like, it's a little too much for me by that point. It's a little too much CGI by that point.
Yeah, yeah. There's points where I thought they actually used a practical, like a real spider
yeah.
in the early, early stages. And then it just got a little out of hand.
It yeah. got a little out of hand. And otherwise, I enjoyed the first half very much. The first two-thirds even, maybe.
Yeah, very strong in my opinion. Yeah. yeah. What'd you think of it?
Well, you take equal parts Wreck, equal parts Arachnophobia. You take equal parts Cloverfield.
But better than all of
you
those.
You put them in a blender. You sprinkle a little bit of Attack the Block on top.
Oh God.
And what you get is a shit fucking milkshake, bro. I'm not a fan. Mostly of any of this.
You didn't like the French hip hop.
I actually enjoy the opening scene when they're in the Middle East. Kind of a cool thing they're doing, and I'm like, all these spiders are fucking dope.
It's like it's like Madame Web over again.
They're just fucking regular spiders, but bigger every scene. I guess. Nah, man, none of these people act fucking normal, dude. None of these motherfuckers really? Act normal. It's a hallway filled with fucking spider webs and fucking spiders. And you're like, nah, dude, what we're going to do is we're going to go through this thing. as slow as humanly possible. And then this stupid thing that we're doing with the timer, it's really going to be stupid because it doesn't matter.
That shit's dope.
And this thing where they're like, oh, the flashlight, dude. But there's fucking other lights in the fucking hallways. It doesn't, it doesn't do anything. So what I'm telling you,
I like the light sensor part. I thought it was good for like the spider web fucking type
deal. Yeah, but there's too. Lights already on in the fucking hallway. Yeah, they're literally they're flashing lights at the fucking spiders, and there's a light right here that's brighter.
Flash it in its eyes.
That's brighter,
dude. You didn't get
that's brighter than the fucking flashlight on his phone. I think bro.
This movie was too complex for you.
This motherfucker
suspension of disbelief.
And nobody and nobody's acting. Nobody's acting normally like you would. Around a spider, my God in really? Heaven!
I thought
okay. Oh,
I thought some of that was pretty natural.
There's a spider on the wall. Let me go look. Let me go look. Oh, let me look closer. Let me look closer.
But those guys did die because of it, though.
Let me look.
Meanwhile, closer. He stands Prometheus.
I do, and that shit is dope.
No, but wait. So I thought that was a really great, because you were talking about, you know, how people react towards a spider. I thought a fantastic scene full of great tension was the bathroom scene.
The bathroom.
I thought, like, that is how I have reacted myself, because I am very arachnophobic. This actually reinstated my arachnophobia, because I've actually, like, completely, like, overcame it, because my sister owns 10 tarantulas.
Yeah.
She owns, like literally, like, his bedroom. It's like my sister in her apartment's got, like, walls of tarantulas.
Mother Holy effort. Shit. That was the other thing, too. The fucking the animal husbandry of this motherfucker. It's like, what are you doing? What are you... Keep the fucking thing in the clear thing, you dumb fuck.
Until you've
got a fucking aquarium for it, you idiot. The fuck are you doing?
He's being dumb.
Wait, no, but he's already... the thing is, they established that he's like a very good animal caretaker. And
No. He's a fucking guy who's lower income, who's like really limited means, who fucking had a recent fucking major loss.
Okay.
And he likes animals, but he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing with
it. I disagree. That if you look at that room, that is a well put together animal room.
For fucking like a centipede.
It's a spider, dude.
He's a speeder.
It's a fuck. It's a, I know what I'm talking about here, man.
No, you don't.
Dude. Yes, I fucking do.
No, he did something dumb. And no this, one's saying it was like a good idea.
Okay, but in a movie that's like in a,
I wouldn't think a spider would eat through a shoebox.
Don't put a fucking spider in a fucking shoebox, man. That's all I'm saying.
A dumb idea.
Yeah,
but and then he was trying to sell the homie the Nikes.
And then it continues. It continues. I'm sorry. Stupidity continues.
Yeah, it does continue,
and it's irritating.
I got okay. I liked some of it.
Definitely, like, if there's a spider on the wall, kick through the drywall. That's the move. That's the move to do. Kick through the fucking drywall barefoot.
You remember Chernobyl, right?
Yeah, that's real life.
Exactly. With higher stakes.
Yeah, exactly.
People will do dumb shit like this with the spider.
I'm unforgiving of it.
Okay.
I'm unforgiving of it.
You remember Titanic?
Idiots.
God himself could not sink this ship.
Idiots.
So, yeah, these motherfuckers, they'll put... Someone has put... Do you remember COVID?
No, what are you talking about?
No, I hear you. And that's why what I really agree on is... And I'm saying in a different way. For me, it got redundant and repetitive. And my suspension of disbelief was too much when it gets to the hallways. Like, that I get. But also, if they just run through this fucker... That's less cinematic. So I get like the tension thing that you want to do, but it just gets cinematically repetitive and too goofy to me.
I also like...
I agree on that part.
The relationships of these people, when there's a character in particular who fucking gets yoten by these spiders.
And which is dope.
The reaction of this woman is so... Unfucking real, man. When she's like in there, and I'm like, dude, she's screaming for now 4 minutes.
That's why I said they need to fuck. She's a liability.
You're like, she went too far. She went full Civil War.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, except
well, I did like, though, how they show how people's things shift around once they start finding themselves in a life and death situation, right? Like, they had the whole character dynamics, and then they have the friend, which I forget, the UFC guy.
Mathis.
He's extremely fucking useful in this situation, because he just keeps getting solution-based, and he's very much in survival mode almost immediately, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, our protagonist guy, by the way, so we haven't talked about him at all. Initially, Jorge, when you said people not acting realistic, I think you're talking about with the spiders and stuff, and before like any of that stuff. Like I thought he was very naturalistic. I thought he was
incredibly likable right off the bat. Like I liked the character. He wasn't some, he was a good character. He had a great relationship with friends and stuff, and it was very surprising. It's just not what I expected, which is great.
Me either. Like little stupid stuff, like when his sister, who I found out later, is like fucking working with the drill and listening to fucking some metal band, and he's like, oh, like I'm like, dude, this is fucking dope. Thank you. Because I know that's not a lot, but it's more attention given to a small moment, and it gets me to kind of feel grounded with real people here. Because it's like something a real person would do to me, right? Therefore, better than Alien.
Mm.
No, what did you think of the spider? I'm gonna jump to there real quick. What about the speeder?
The huge spider
coming? No, not the speeder coming out of the dog.
Just in general,
the speeder coming out of the dog, like Alien 3.
Yeah, I mean that's dope. The thing. Like, there's cool little tidbits of ideas here. Oh, like, there's I'm so fucking over it, man. I'm over, like, I'm so done, man, with these, like, rehashed, boring ass, like, it's fucking spiders, man. Like, come on.
Speeder. That was going to be one of my questions.
Dude, if you're going to give me spiders, give them fucking tiki heads and fucking make them.
Oh, you want Arcadian.
Werewolf Goofy.
I want dumb fucking monsters now. I don't want fucking spiders anymore, dude. I don't want spiders. I don't want fucking lions. Give me dumb shit, bro. I'm over it.
What about Ad Astra, your favorite space film, where he gets a distress call and you think it might be an alien and you get there and it's a chimpanzee?
It's a chimpanzee and they're shooting in space with fucking real guns.
That's fucking stupid.
Moon pirates.
It's fucking stupid.
Moon pirates?
That's the other thing, too. There's a fucking scene in this movie where they're in the garage and they're like they're tied up down by the cops, which is a dumbass move in the first place. Like, you have people that are mobile, fucking let them help. But anyways,
no.
They're all of them.
That's the Jim Beam.
We're talking 40 fucking people. They're literally fucking watching a doorway.
Literally,
they've got their fucking guns out. Yeah. For spiders, man. For fucking spiders. As if they're going to shoot these fucking spiders.
Hell yeah.
And then the spiders, I'm saying spiders,
like
so
aliens,
much.
Dude.
They come out of the fucking
they're
doorway.
Like facehuggers, dude.
As if they were like, all right, guys, ready? One, two, three, go! And the fucking spiders come out, bro. It's fucking dumb.
No, it was that sequence was a little too long. I was like, is this like it was like a shootout with spiders for like 10 minutes.
Hell yeah.
They're like, there's other scenes like the shootout was the background for 10 minutes in that garage.
What I do,
okay, you know what? I got the hate blood out. The movie's fine.
No. So, are you okay with Colonial Marines shooting facehuggers with guns?
Yeah, because it's ineffective, right? Like, the whole point is that they're getting fucking juice on them, and they're fucking, yeah. But this, it's just
that's what people would do,
it's
though.
It's fucking spiders, man. Come on, dude. Fucking move along. Get eaten by your spiders and die.
Hell yeah.
I wish a spider would crawl on my face right now and kill me so that I don't have to remember seeing this fucking movie.
Damn. So I'm guessing you're not scared of spiders.
I don't give a shit about spiders, bro.
You just punch them all. You're like, it's nothing.
I don't care about spiders. I mean, I don't know.
I feel like if the movie, if spiders in general don't give you, you know, that ick, you know, then I guess, yeah, I don't think this movie would do anything for you.
I liked the editing. I liked a good amount of the character interactions on the front end, the time and consideration that was given to that. I liked some elements of the setting and the cultural thing, because again, I'm not familiar with that part of France.
Yeah,
like that. It's not Brotherhood of the Wolf.
That is not.
It's not Vincent Cassel. Yeah, you know, that it is not. Again. Yeah. So I like that stuff. I actually kind of love that bathroom scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
Because again, it shows her. That's when she starts being hysterical, and from then on, she doesn't stop being hysterical. She was like a grounded, reasonable person, very empathetic person, and that's like, cool. You're empathetic. This is not particularly useful once we get to this situation. It's useful in the sense of like our protagonist, he doesn't want to leave anyone behind. So that's cool. And also he carries this guilt about creating the fucking situation, obviously. Yeah. Right? Inadvertently, but irresponsibly and stupidly by putting that shit in the fucking, in the shoebox. It is a fucking stupid thing. And they agree. He's fucking stupid for doing it. So... They do kind of say that, you know? Yeah. Like what the you're fuck like, did you do?
You know, the movie agrees with me.
The movie agrees with you that it's stupid. But I fucking like the bit about the fucking neighbor who starts power tripping because we're in a life and death situation. And he fucking is like, what do you got in here? Drugs? Blah, blah, blah. And then
he
like,
stabs the box open.
Like a fucking idiot who thinks there's drugs in there.
It's just, here's the thing. Like, I know people are dumb, but everybody's dumb. Like, everyone.
You know what, dude?
Everyone is dumb.
Mathis was dope.
We're walking down a hallway. Let's walk into this room. Spiderwebs. We definitely have to keep going into this room. We definitely don't want to close the door and go back the way we came from. Continue on.
Well, I think the insinuation was they couldn't go back the way they came from, right? So they had to keep moving. The way out is through. Have you ever heard that, man? On Dr. Phil?
No, but I want to see what this director can do with other, like, sub-genres of horror. Like, spider stuff. Because I was impressed with even a small scene of a cop brawl in an apartment.
Fuck yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is good choreography.
The editing.
Because Mathis is an MMA fighter, so they do a quick thing.
Which is funny. Like, yeah. It's wasn't it, Jorge? Wasn't that, like, super funny when that happened?
This is probably your favorite part. I can already see you. You were like, let's fucking go.
Let's get these. You know what, dude? The scene where the cops beat down on some teenagers. Fuck yeah, bro.
I like that scene, though, too, because it's like, why would you fucking attack the cops? And it's like, because you're already in fucking survival mode for hours. You're just another fucking animal that's trying to fucking kill me.
Yeah.
Or who doesn't give a fuck if I survive.
Yeah, they just want to get out of there. Yeah, anything that gets in the way. Right. And I love just how it was shot. The choreography was very steady. It wasn't shaky. It was, I was impressed. It stood out immediately. Yeah.
So you like it more than Arcadian?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I think it's more technically proficient than Arcadian.
Technically proficient, because that was my only gripes. With Arcadian, my only gripes were the technical stuff.
Arcadian has better ideas. This is more technically proficient.
Jorge's
like, what the fuck are you guys on?
It didn't come out on streaming. What
the fuck are you guys talking about?
The editing, the flow of the scenes, the scene composition. He's good. That homie, good.
I really want to see what he can do. I can see him actually doing an action movie and fucking making it dope because of like the pacing and everything. Yeah.
I wish he hadn't gone.
You're right. He should never make another horror movie again. You're right. You know what? You're right. 100%.
Yeah. I will say, dude, like when people say it's the best fucking spider movie again since Arachnophobia, like having rewatched that recently, and I'm not like so blinded by the nostalgia of Arachnophobia. But like, this is better than Arachnophobia.
There's not much to go on. Yeah, there's not much to compare it to.
It's better than Arachnophobia.
You're right.
It doesn't have Bill
Pullman.
But
like is Arachnophobia. Bill
Jeff Daniels. Wrong guy. Daniels.
Yeah. John Goodman.
And John Goodman, yeah.
Okay, that was dope. That part was dope. I know, and some people will be like, that's fucking heretical to say what I'm saying, maybe.
Nah. It's that's not a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. It's like, it's really not.
Although that's cold comfort when we were like, this shit movie is worse than this other shit movie.
Well, it is a subgenre. There's Earth versus the Spider in the 50s. There's that William Shatner Spider movie in the fucking 70s, which I've never seen.
There's Eight-Legged Freaks.
Which I still never saw.
It's I enjoy that movie. It's goofy as shit, but...
On purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's supposed to be like a 50s.
I think, did you think maybe tonally, because it started semi-grounded, that it really threw you for a loop when it got...
Gradually no, man, goofier. I guess the subject matter is...
There's not enough there either,
it's just not enough, dude. Like, yeah. It's just spiders, but they get bigger.
Well, no, and I was disappointed by that progression as well. I was.
Because the more chaotic it got, the more it fell apart. I liked it when it was smaller, more subdued, like, you're dealing with small spiders.
I was kind of hoping that there was going to be more, like... Kind of the implication was that these things were sort of like evolving as a species, and you know, maybe there was going to be something different, but it's like, no, they're just bigger. Like,
so we have to watch Sting next, because that's the movie you're looking for.
I don't know. Maybe I'm all fucked up, and maybe Sting is the one that I'm like supposed to be watching instead.
I don't think so, dude.
It's like Alien, but with a spider.
And this is like Aliens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the many hallways.
Sting versus Infested.
He's Googling it, man. That's fucked.
Hell yeah, I'm going to Google it here on the show. Okay, so... This is the Reddit.
You know what's a better... You know what's a better movie... better spider movie than this whole thing? Mm. The scene in The Mist with the fucking chompy spiders.
Hell yeah.
Bro... That's how you do a fucking mutated spider scene.
Yeah. Did they have acid webs?
They had acid webs, man.
I watched Sting last week and Infested today. Both are good movie. Okay, we're in trouble. But Infested is the far superior in horror, sound, and editing. Infested is easily going to be a hit with the horror crowd. It's R-rated arachnophobia.
I was surprised this one wasn't the one in theaters, because I know Sting was in theaters for like 1 or 2 weeks. This felt like more of a theater kind of horror crowd.
I would have liked to watch. Exactly, yeah. Dude.
This would probably be more fun in the theater.
Yeah. Absolutely. I could see the whole audience getting, you know.
I would have been more immersed in like those hallway scenes, because it would have been more intense instead of like, again, like almost even visually.
Yeah, because they had the build up. They would show everyone's face, the character's face is reacting, and then they would show what they're looking at, and it's this crazy drawn out shot. Yeah.
What'd you think of the little clicking noises?
Spiders don't make clicking noises.
No, they don't. Yeah. That's what I mean.
It's Sting. I think it whistles or something like that. Yeah, it does that.
My friend.
What? In Sting, the spiders whistle?
It doesn't make the sound like that, yeah.
That's kind of neat, actually. I'm kind of into that.
Because it's fucking absurd enough
where you're
just leaving all this shit behind.
Yeah, I do know in Sting, it looks like it's like almost all practical. Like it's puppetry or something like that. Animatronics with the spider. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. What'd you think of the credits song and the French hip hop music?
I'm not an avid listener of French hip hop, so I don't have much to say about it. It's also like Euro hip hop. I don't like. I know you do. You like that.
You're not wrong. There's another phrase. Yeah, I don't mind. I was kind of like, I kind of want to look at this soundtrack now, because this shit sounds pretty dope. Yeah,
I'm not a fan of Euro hip hop in general.
I think French is because the language lends itself well to flow.
You know what I
mean? Flow. It's a crazy ass building too, that apartment.
Yeah, and so I was wondering, is that a real fucking building?
That's what I was wondering, because, you know, spoiler alert, the fucking...
Yeah.
Demolish it.
When they demolish it at the end too, I'm like, if this is like a relatively low budget movie, like CGI is getting much better. If that was never there, mm-hmm. like the explosion I could tell is CGI.
Yeah.
Right? I hope. Mm-hmm. Like, but the rest of the thing, like that could have been CGI the whole time. Which is also it's kind of an odd thing to like go out of your way to make the CGI building like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm curious what he can do with a bigger budget. Any genre, I'm curious to know what he's capable of.
Yeah.
Before this, he only did a short film, and it's about dog fighting, I think. And I'm actually curious to watch that, too. I could see him blowing up as a director. Like, his next move would be, an anthology horror movie or something, you know. I always, it feels like it's always like a horror movie directing debut, and then you do like a fucking VHS short, and then you do another movie or something. I don't know.
That's the trajectory.
And then they give
right?
you the Godzilla.
And then then you do a Godzilla.
Then
movie.
You get. Then they give you the Godzilla franchise,
or you do a fucking Pet Sematary sequel or reboot,
or you
like
do,
the guys who did fucking Starry Eyes.
Yeah,
they went from Starry Eyes to that fucking Pet Sematary.
That's crazy.
That's fucked up.
That was fucked up. Or you do an A24 trilogy with Maxine.
Yeah, Sebastian Vanisek.
Dude.
Oh, he's been set to helm the next Evil Dead movie.
Oh, that's right. That was the news. The fucking this guy is. That's why this all got all this popularity too. Yeah,
you hear that?
Sam Raimi announced there's two Evil Dead movies coming out. They're okay. really going.
Far. I'm in.
Just you know, different stories, all that, which is cool. And then yeah, this was the director of one of them.
This the homie. He's gonna direct one of the next Evil Dead films.
And it was funny because when I was watching this, I was like, "This is way better than Evil Dead Rise," in my opinion.
Wow. Maybe he really did not like that.
It wasn't my thing.
Maybe with a little more silliness, he could, with like more. Well,
for
like,
Evil Dead Rise, I wanted it to have as many characters as infested. Like, I wanted like the whole like building involved, you know, like Wreck or this. But in Evil Dead, they had this like, you could tell it's like a COVID thing where it's like, oh, everyone's gone because they're going to, you know, condemn the building. So you only got four characters in the movie, you know?
Yeah,
that's why I didn't care about Evil Dead Rise.
Speaking of the COVID thing, did you guys pick up on an allegory thing there about them being quarantined in there?
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And then how people start to turn on each other really quickly.
Yeah, and the police, they weren't sure at first if it was even like a spider thing, right? They thought it was some virus or something.
Right, I think it was a biohazard of some mm-hmm. sort, right? And that was like Wreck, that aspect. That's what kept them in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. But all it took was an MMA fighter to.
And you don't like Wreck.
I don't. It's not that I don't like Wreck. Like I.
That is crazy.
It's not that I don't like Wreck. It's one of the most egregious examples of taking me out of your stop. What the fuck is it called? Not stop motion. Out of your found footage thing. That movie has people holding the camera while they're being attacked by zombies.
Yeah, like, they should have put that camera down as soon as shit went down.
Fucking stupid, dude. Like, just don't do that. Like, when that first person fell, like, from the stairway.
So good.
That shit was great. Like, all of that. I was not, no problem with any of that. But then the movie starts doing that, and it kept doing it for the last half of the movie.
It's even worse in the remake when he uses the camera as, like, a bludgeoning weapon. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's all broken.
Yeah. I'm just, it's like, well, that's the limitations of the form. It's like, okay, well, that's dumb.
Have you seen the third one?
Is the
one
the
on the plane?
No, the plane?
Oh, it is the wedding one. And the fourth one is on the plane.
Or I thought the plane was quarantined too, I think.
I don't know.
Which was like straight to video. Yeah, it's a mess. I haven't seen past Wreck 3.
Well, it's called Quarantine, but it's still in the Wreck series. It's in Spanish, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There was the American remake Quarantine?
Yes.
Yeah, I never saw
shot
that.
For shot. Yeah, I like Wreck 2 because it's the first story from the perspective of the SWAT team.
Oh, dude!
And so you see a crossover scenes.
That's interesting, in and of itself to me. Yeah. That it's the same situation, different perspective.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. It not as effective as the first one, but yeah.
So, Infested on Shudder. Check it out if you haven't seen it. A lot of our patrons already seen it, especially some fellers on Discord.
Yeah.
I recommendation for myself and Jacob. Jorge, not so much.
Not so much.
He's like, just go watch Amadeus.
I mean,
well, definitely. Seriously. That's on Netflix.
Watch that.
Too, right?
Watch that regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch Amadeus and then Infested.
Infested, not as good as Amadeus, unfortunately.
But if you watch Left Behind, you won't need anything else.
Go Amadeus, Infested, Left Behind. For that. Really, that trash progression. All right, idiots. Well, that's the Goozer Podcast for episode 414. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Rick.
Later.
Bye, Sophia.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.